It is the Doomsday Podcast. Ed Werner has joined us up in our palatial suite up on the silver level. Thank you to the Nations, Jim and Sally Nation. And Ed has recorded several pieces for ESPN. And I can't wait to see those, Ed. But it is a...
Save the best for last, Omo. The best for last.
Thank you. Thank you for coming up here. We're taping this just in the aftermath, a couple of hours after the Cowboys lose. 28-24 crushing loss for the Cowboys. I mean, it's not anything to be ashamed about losing to the Vikings, but I think kind of how it came
about. What are you talking about?
No. I don't think the Vikings are a horrible team. I don't think you're ashamed of losing to the Minnesota Vikings. I know. Well, go ahead. If you think that's wrong,
you're not ashamed to be Kirk Cousins' first victim. He's 0-7-1 coming into this game on the road against winning teams.
And he also has something with, like, primetime games or something like that.
Yeah, he's horrible in that situation, too. It's the first time he'd ever lost a game to Dak Prescott. So, yes, it is an embarrassment.
I don't think it's an embarrassment. I would disagree with that, but it's really bad for the season. And they had a great opportunity to come out here and really build some momentum the rest of the way.
They had a chance for a monumental victory that could have changed the direction of their entire season.
They did. And, Ed, you were talking about it before you got up here, and I want to look at this. Let's start with this. Let's start with that final drive. I mean, let's take a peek at this thing. The Cowboys, and by the way, we can look at some of these stats. They really struggled. You know, they were trying to run the ball a million times on first down. It was not effective. Zeke was not effective. You know who was effective? This quarterback. This quarterback really played well.
397 yards and 3 touchdowns, and at the end of the game, you take the ball out of his hands, or you at least don't maximize his opportunities to win. You only let him throw it twice instead of 4 times.
So first and 10 from the 19, Ed, Amari Cooper, 8-yard pass. You're in business. At this point, they're getting cute. At this point, they're doing something we've seen. Now, I think the Patriots can get away with this. I think there are certain teams that can think about, well, maybe we're scoring too quickly. We shouldn't score too fast. The Cowboys are not really one of those teams, but that's what they were trying to do, and I think the quarterback admitted that. Okay, so on 2nd and 2 from the 11-yard line, Zeke, no gain. Okay, they're on the 11 again, obviously, on 3rd and 2. Zeke, 3-yard loss, and suddenly you go from 2nd and 2, and you're
at
in
the
great
11.
Situation, and you're going down there to win that football game. And
on a 95-yard drive against a good Vikings defense, and instead you wind up looking like you did in the pivotal moment against the Jets. An equally, even a far more embarrassing loss, but same kind of thing. And I kind of understand why they did it the way they did. They didn't trust their defense. If you trust your defense, you don't care when you score, you just score. And you let your best player have the most chances possible. And their best player tonight was Dak Prescott. In a very game where I think he really demonstrated, we've talked about the evolution of the quarterback this season, but this was really the game where he demonstrated, hey, against a good team, if you stop Zeke Elliott, I can win the game. I can win the game no matter how the defense plays, no matter how often you stop a running back. What'd they have? No first down rushings, no rushing first downs for the first time since 2007. Dak Prescott could have won this game tonight, but they didn't trust their defense. It wasn't that they didn't trust their quarterback. They didn't trust their defense. How much money have they paid for that defense?
Mm-hmm.
I think I said it last week. The Cowboys have paid more money for their defense this year than any team in football, even more than the undefeated San Francisco 49ers, who are playing tomorrow night. And at the end of the game, because of the way they played the Vikings tonight, they didn't trust them to win the game. They didn't trust them with any time left on the clock. And I think that was a huge mistake, because even if you score the touchdown and your defense gives it up, do they have to give up a touchdown? They could give up a field goal. Now you get overtime at least. But so I think that's why that was their strategy, was they had to play, we want to score and win the game, but we don't want to do it too soon because our defense will get us beat.
Yeah. And so they kind of blinked, and then that's how you suddenly, you go from 2nd and 2 in a very big time position of strength. Everybody in this crowd, everybody's feeling great. I mean, except the Vikings, they had a lot of fans here as well. And then they come down, and it's 4th and 5, and I sensed don't know what you kind of felt like, but it, you know, I was sitting out among the fans a little bit, if you call sitting in a suite among the fans. But I did have a little more connection to the fans this evening, and I thought when you went from second and two to fourth and five, it seemed like panic took over. Like fourth and five, just suddenly you went from like feeling great to just sort of panic. And I don't even know what that play. You know, obviously was, the guy made a great play.
Eric Kendricks broke it up. Yeah. He said he was. I talked to him after the game. He said he was in a one-on-one situation against Elliott on that particular play, and he said he was fortunate to make it, but he did it. And he also said that the two runs caught them by surprise. It's not what they were expecting at all, and they still defended it. So you didn't surprise them with it, and they still were successful in stopping you for a loss of 3 yards on two carries by a two-time NFL rushing champion. And, oh, by the way, they could not stop Dalvin Cook no matter what. They were horrible against the running backs in this game and against the tight end. The receiver didn't hurt them at all. They were, I mean, the Cowboys in the big picture have this great fortune to play the Saints without Drew Brees, the Packers without Devontae Adams, the Vikings without Adam Thielen, and they lose all three games.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Like, good teams don't do that.
No, I think we maybe have established this isn't a good team, but can we? Are we still going to just talk about how they have? They're so supremely gifted in.
Doesn't matter
the unbelievable talent on this
doesn't
team.
Doesn't matter if you can't put it together in a way that leads to victories. That's what it's all about. And I think the most revealing statistic of all the ones I've seen is that, you know, when Zeke and Dak were rookies in 2016, this team was 10-0 against non-division opponents. And since then, the last 3 years, they're 10-15. 10-15 against non-division opponents. So against the teams that they don't know as well because they don't play them as often, or the teams that aren't pathetic enough to play in the NFC East, they're actually good teams, the Cowboys don't win against those teams with any kind of regularity. And now their next two games are against non-division opponents on the road, and one of them is the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good luck. Good luck on that deal. And again, they'll luck out here and not have Stafford ready to go, as you say. Although they don't seem to take advantage of these things. And we were right before we came on the air, we were talking about third time in franchise history, no first down by rushing for the Cowboys, and they ran it like crazy on first down. I mean, at some point, somebody, you know, Ross Hudson, who's here with us tonight, I mean, he found where everybody had every single first down run, and somebody compiled all this. It's just unbelievable. It was just like over and over, 2 yards, 3 yards, no gain. I mean, they continue, and then they never got one rushing. And that's almost hard to do. That's
you said it's
impossible.
Happened three times in Cowboys history, right?
Three times in the history of this organization.
And let me make that a little worse. The Vikings also played the game without Linville Joseph, who is a defensive their best defensive tackle and their best run player. And the Vikings still stuffed the Cowboys every time they tried to run the ball. What was Zeke's longest run? 6 yards?
Yeah, on all those I looked at on first down, he had
to
have a 6 yard run in there.
I think in the whole game, his longest run was.
That Tavon Austin had a 7 yard run.
I wasn't talking about
the
him.
Jet sweep. Did he run
and
the ball with Tavon Austin?
You know what else is key in the running game? Dak had zero runs. His running has to be a factor. I think I'll find the stat before we're done. But they have a very poor record when Dak has zero runs since he became the starting quarterback, because that's part of what makes him unique. But God, give that guy credit. I mean, his ability to move around and evade the rush and locate guys and put the ball where it needed to be thrown was remarkable. Like, what this guy has done from where he was 2 years ago is astounding.
It is. It is. And I think he had a remarkable evening. Honestly, this was one of his better games this season, if not the best. On first downs, Ed, 14 times they passed. That's 108 yards and 8.3 yards per attempt on first down. And the running was pathetic. And they finished with, they had 20 carries for 47 yards. And as a team, they had 50 rushing yards. And what the Vikings were able to do, even though Dalvin Cook didn't have a huge night running the ball, obviously they couldn't tackle him in the passing game.
I know he didn't have 183 total yards.
No, but he only had 97 rushing yards. I'm talking about in the passing game, he went crazy. Yeah. They held him below 4 yards a carry. So they actually did okay when he was running the ball. It's when they were throwing it to him, and I think he had eight carries or eight catches, and they had no chance to tackle him.
Well, and Kyle Rudolph early in the game beats Sean Lee for 2 touchdowns. One was a phenomenal catch in the back of the end zone, a one-handed catch where he somehow – I mean, we saw some remarkable catches tonight. Not only that one, but Randall Cobb's touchdown, Amari Cooper's touchdown, and had two others on top of that. I mean, it was a showcase for –
Yeah, Amari had a sideline catch that was unbelievable.
Showcase for toe-tapping catches out there tonight. There must have been 6 or 8 of them. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, so at least the Cowboys put up some nice plays on film.
At least they contributed to that.
Yeah, they were entertaining. They were entertaining. All right, before we get to a stretch here in a second, I did want to say, Ed, I know you were excited about this. Hudson Financial Group has come on board with us. That is our title sponsor. And independent property, casualty, and life insurance, they make you the CEO of your own life. Wouldn't you like to be the CEO
of
your own? No, I kind of
did. Sounds like you've done some prep.
I did a little prep work. Look, I'm written it out on a plate over here. The CEO of your own life. That's the thing, though. Think about all these things you could do. Regardless of age, income, or wealth, a sound plan is essential.
I thought you had to be single to be the CEO of your own life.
Oh, you mean the wife sometimes? How about, I think you include the wife. It's a CEO, co-CEO type thing. Hudson Financial Group provides investment management, financial planning, estate planning, property casualty, insurance, and that's the thing that's great about them. They're independent, and that what that means is, Ed, so if you called your little group that you use for, like, auto insurance, mm-hmm. they're going to say, hey, we all use this deal. They can use all the different companies, so they can tailor it to whatever need you have. And they do an incredible job. It is Hudson Financial Group, 469-402-0320. All right, let's get to Stretch's grades. And right now we will go to what we call stretch marks.
The stretch, tough loss for the Cowboys. They lose 28-24 out here. Start with this, the sequence where the Cowboys were marching it down the field. Seemingly, Dak has admitted that maybe they tried to kind of slow it down because they didn't want to score too quickly there, which obviously now seems kind of crazy that they were worried about that. But down 28-24, they're on the move. They've got second and two. I mean, they're down there knocking on the goal line down there around the 10-yard line. And second and two, don't get it. And then they turn around and obviously aren't able to get it on third down either. They lose 3 on third down. What do you make of that sequence in this, the running game as a whole?
Well, as a sequence, it happened all night. I mean, and I can, the best way for me to explain it to you, Matt, is when you have 5 offensive linemen, 1 tight end, and you are trying to run the football against a 7-man box, you're not going to have any success. Hence the reason that I'll flip the coin with you and tell you, Minnesota brought a fullback in the game. And they said, we're going to hammer your bubble backer and we're going to have success running the ball. The Cowboys never did that. Whether you bring another tight end in the box, you got to bring somebody else in to block the 7th guy. And that they didn't do it, I think, is the thing that is immensely frustrating as a Cowboy fan, as somebody who watched the game, and as somebody who grades the film. It's maddening to sit and watch that over and over and over, and that they called that zone read play at such a critical time when they couldn't number up and block. I mean, Zeke's got to be shaking his head thinking, I'm not even sure why they made this call or what the call, you know. When you go and put a play together, you're trying to schematically get a hat on a hat, and they didn't do it in the first quarter, they didn't do it in the second quarter, and they damn sure didn't do it in the most critical drive of the game.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable to see it. And you're right. Everything was hanging on that drive, and then they kind of got stuck in that. A lot of people are talking about the fact that on first down, they ran it so many times, and honestly, with very little success. In fact, they did not stretch. I don't know if you heard this stat. They did not. It's like the third time in franchise history. They did not gain a first down by rush tonight in this game.
I did see that. And again, when you play a good front seven, which obviously Minnesota has, and Mike Zimmer told you, we're not letting that running back beat us. You better come up with something. You better design something differently than what you've shown, a new wrinkle than what you've shown all year. And they chose not to do that. And now we've touted this boy wonder as being some kind of offensive guru. And the fact that he doesn't understand how to match up or how to number, I'm telling you, it's maddening. And it's maddening to watch.
Well, I think from what I can understand, obviously you're not saying it because of Zeke's effort. He had 20 carries for 47 yards. But, I mean, it sounds like you're about ready to give the running game just an overall, is it a C or an F?
No. I'm giving the entire offensive coaching staff an F. And
wow.
Go over there and put and while you're at it, punch the caps lock. F. You can't. I mean, there's no way. And I don't care that they threw for 400 yards. You cannot not understand how to get a hat on a hat in the running game. That is basic, simple football as there is. And so absolutely the offensive staff, the offensive coordinator, I mean, just hit F about five times for the entire group.
F for the entire coaching staff. Got you down for that, and we'll hit that all over the place. And then let's go to the quarterback. You know, Dak obviously put up really good numbers. Obviously the fourth down pass was trying to get it out there to Zeke. Ball was knocked away. What'd you make of his performance?
Well, I mean, you know, he's so good at throwing the ball on the move. I mean, he really is. I mean, he keeps plays alive with his feet. He did a great job of, throwing the ball on the move. Early in the game, I'm still a little concerned I'm still concerned with his consistency. His consistency, I'm early. He almost threw a pick on that hitch that could have maybe gained 21 to nothing right there. But he continues to battle. And the fact that he move his feet, he can do those things that extends plays, that's what makes him so dangerous. And so, you know, I have to give him an overall B+ for tonight, although he started about as slow as you could start. He picked it up at the end of the game, and even that final pass, I hated the call. I hated that they ran that into the boundary. I mean, but still, the throw was there. The linebacker makes an unbelievable play and gets a tip on the ball. But grading the quarterback, you got to give him a B+, and his ability to keep plays alive is what makes him so dangerous.
All right, B+ for the quarterback. Wide receivers, you had two wide receivers go for over 100 yards. We'll throw the tight ends in as well. Jarwin seems like every time, and they only give him about one touch target a game, but every time he touches it, you know, he makes a pretty big play. What'd you make of that whole unit?
This is a really good when they're on their game, when it's Cobb and Gallup and Cooper and they're on their game. I mean, they are really good route runners. They do a great job of handling the football. Obviously Cooper, I mean, made some incredible catches, great awareness of where he's at on the field. The tight ends did a good job. Nice job of blocking. So overall a B+ for that entire group.
All right, B+ is all around there for the receivers, tight ends, and the quarterback. Offensive line, you already mentioned them. You thought they held up. Dak did take some hits in that first half. What did you think about the overall performance of the offensive line?
Well, I thought they passed protected pretty well. I mean, you got to remember, I mean, Mike Zimmer's, he throws a lot of different looks at you, a lot of different blitzes. They're going to hit the quarterback. They do a great job with their front seven, but I thought overall the offensive line played pretty well, protected pretty well from a pass game standpoint. And, you know, overall they gave you a B effort. Again, all things considering the fact that they were just out-schemed from a running game standpoint, you can't knock the players or the effort of the players when you're and you don't want to confuse it with what's going on schematically or the lack of what was going on schematically with the run game.
All right, we saw Dalvin Cook on the other side of the ball, the excellent running back from Minnesota. You know, they did it. They held up actually against him okay on the run. He averaged under 4 yards a carry, but he just killed them in the passing game. And he got out there and made huge plays and just kind of shredded them so many times. I think he had, eight catches, and he was just in the open field all night. Let's just start with that secondary. What did you make of their performance?
Yeah, I mean, I like Thompson. I do like Thompson and Woods. I like Thompson in the game over Heath. I understand the concern for the secondary coach is that will he make the right checks and will he be able to make the right checks? So I certainly like the safeties. The corners, the corners are bad, guys. We have talked about this all year. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. They aren't worth the deputy dog. You know what? They're terrible. And both of them. I mean, Awuzie tonight, I mean, literally, you know, Diggs hits the break, and Awuzie just kind of stumbles by him like he's never seen a receiver hit the brakes before. It is a painful watch for these corners. So I'm going to grade them differently. I thought that the safeties gave you a really good effort, and I given the safeties a B. But these corners, they just hit the F button again. These two corners, these two corners are not good, guys. And I'm not even gonna candy coat it anymore. Awuzie, I mean, and Byron Jones, they're the drizzling craps. I'm almost done watching them. They're painful to watch.
That's a rough deal there. All right, the F button has been pushed again on those cornerbacks. That's tough. And that drizzling, whatever you said, that's a rough image. Linebackers. Vander Esch left. He came back, so he's back in there tonight. Jalen doing his thing, and then obviously Sean Lee. What you make of that group?
Well, you know, and I like Jalen a lot. They got led up on tonight, and when I say led up on, Minnesota did put a fullback in the game, and wow, is that some novel idea? And run it to the bubble backer side, and boy, I'm talking about real cutting edge football. Let's kick the five technique out. Let's block the one, and let's lead the fullback up on the linebacker. And I'm talking about, boy, I mean, we are talking about absolute cutting edge football. But linebackers wise, when we think about it, that they got their scheme didn't help them any. What they were doing tonight and how they were doing it. I mean, I like Jalen Smith. I don't think Vander Esch is still healthy. He looked still a little beat up to me. And quite frankly, guys, I love Sean Lee, but you know, tonight, I mean, him trying to cook and him trying to stay with Cook and even in the screen game, you know, reading, recognizing and how fast he can do things. He looks like he's on the downhill side of his productivity, his speed, his lack of speed. So they got exposed, you know, as a linebacking group tonight. And I'm going to give them a C- at best.
Okay. A defensive line, Cowboys only end up with the one sack. I think you might've mentioned it earlier that, Quinn was the one who got in there and got that one. And that gives him, I think, 7.5 on the season. What'd you make of the defensive line?
Yeah, the defensive line played well, guys. I mean, Lawrence is back to being Lawrence. I mean, I saw him flying around doing some things. I mean, Bennett is a good player. I like Woods. I like Hyder. I like Armstrong. I like the rotation of the defensive line group. And I thought really they played well as a group tonight. I'm going to give them a B+. They really did a nice job, even though they only got the one sack. I thought Lawrence really chased the football well. They did some really good things and they were able to do some okay things to kind of get off the field when they needed to get off the field there at the end of the game. So I'm going to give that group a B+.
All right. B+ for the D line. And, boy, Stretch, good work from you tonight. Did some TV work. You should see it. We can see him from this beautiful suite up here on the silver level. Werder's still down there taping segments. He appears to be angry. Some youngsters ran behind his shot a second ago. They're out there running around at the goal line. I don't think he's happy. I don't think he's real pleased with this. He's looking at him right now like he may have to bark at him. But
I heard that yawn in the middle of my segment, so I hope you're able to kind of hang on tonight and make it through.
You know what? I heard that too. I heard that too, but you know who that was? I promise you that wasn't me. That was Frito. I thought the same thing. I said, who just did that? God. It had to be Frito. It had to be Frito.
Turn Frito's mic off and tell him I'm sorry we're bothering him tonight. Didn't mean to bother you.
I promise you it wasn't me. I heard the same thing, and I was like,
"Sound like he was shifted in that 14th gear and that Peterbilt he's driving."
He's got a new apartment. He's loving it, man. He gets it real cold in there, and he gets kind of active. Okay,
it'd help him to take his ass to bed a little earlier.
Okay, appreciate you. Glenn Stretch Smith with Stretch Marks.
All right, there he was. And Ed, I know you were down there doing all the TV work. You'll be pleased to know F's were given. F's were given to the cornerbacks. F's were given to the coaching staff. F. Stretch was very upset, and he used some adult language as he was giving his grades tonight.
Well, that's very mature of him. That's what we expect on this podcast.
He did. No, it wasn't too bad. But there was one drizzling. There was something he said that'll blow you away when you listen to it tomorrow. So you need to check that out. But now I'll say this. One point he made I thought was a good one. He thinks that the Vikings, and we know Zimmer really well because we've known him forever, but he thinks they just absolutely lined up. He thinks the coaches out-schemed the Cowboys. And he's not usually somebody who gets after the coaches that much, but he thinks even just a very novel concept. Did you see what they did with their fullback when they got down there on the goal line, when they needed to have a first down? Guess how many first downs Dalvin Cook had? You know, we talked about how he didn't have 100 yards rushing. He only had 97 yards rushing. Nine. He had nine runs that went for first downs. You know what they did? They lined up in the I formation, and they put a fullback out there, and he went and knocked out the linebacker.
That's how the Cowboys started the game. That's the look they started the game with.
Did they stay with it ever?
No.
Did they ever come back to it?
But Zim's whole thing, I don't know if they got out-schemed, but, you know, Zim's whole thing is, because I talked to him last week and covered the Kansas City game, and he talked about that this offense is now exactly what he envisioned it being, which is built around the running back, Dalvin Cook, built around using the screen game, using play action, misdirection, taking the pressure off the quarterback. He understands that Kirk Cousins is not going to dominate opponents from week to week, even though he has two great receivers. I only had one of them tonight, and a good tight end. They feature the running back, and they used it exceptionally well tonight in both phases to the detriment of the Cowboy linebackers. I mean, everybody came into the season thinking the Cowboys had maybe the greatest pair of young linebackers in football. I don't think Leighton Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith and Sean Lee are getting it done.
Certainly didn't look like it. And when Dalvin Cook was out in the open field and just kind of running over everybody, either they weren't getting off blocks, missing tackles. It just was a bad look.
You know, I almost think like they were shocked by how fast he is. He is, to me, the fastest running back in the league.
Had you seen him in person
twice,
a few
now.
Times before yeah. tonight?
Yeah, I saw him last week. Kansas City handled him. You know, he only had like 3.4 yards per rushing attempt against them.
When he hits his top end, when he gets out in the open field or something, there's almost like an AD. There's almost a Peterson feel to it. I mean,
physical as Peterson. He's a faster guy than Peterson, and he's a much bigger contributor as a receiver than Adrian Peterson.
It took Peterson a while to become much of a contributor in the passing game.
Well, it's taken this guy 3 years. I mean, his first 2 years have been a washout because of injuries, but now he's a really good player.
Yeah, I think he's really, really good. Ed, let's look at a little bit at the defensive side of the ball. You made the point that the Cowboys certainly didn't trust the defense when the game was on the line, and maybe that was the reason they were trying to, you know, not score as quickly, which, again, for this team, I don't know. I don't know if you have the luxury of doing that. I know teams that maybe do, but they were not wanting that team. They don't think about that. You just talked about Cousins. think about it, the fear. They at that point, it is the fear of Cousins. It's not the fear of Dalvin Cook.
It's the fear of Cousins throwing to Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. I mean, he can't. Maybe they could just throw a little swing pass to him. But it is Cousins. And this play illustrates it to me. The play to Diggs that he made a nice catch. Did you see Awuzie just kind of come flailing?
Never looked like back for the ball.
There's just no – these cornerbacks, and one of them went to the Pro Bowl and we're supposed to believe is some kind of all-pro type player, but he certainly doesn't look like it. I mean, I just don't this Byron Jones doesn't do much for me.
I mean, how many games has he gone without an interception? It's been forever. That's the thing. I mean, we kind of thought – based on the last two games, that the Cowboys' defense was kind of coming around. They're starting to contribute. They're starting to cause some turnovers. They had 7 turnovers in the previous two games that the Cowboys – and the Cowboys won both of those. Tonight, they didn't help. They created nothing on defense. They had 1 sack against Kirk Cousins. They didn't intercept him. I don't think they got a turnover, did they? No turnovers. None. They had 4 against – 4 2 weeks ago, and 3 last week, and none tonight. Their defense doesn't contribute, they lose. And tonight they had to play with an offense that had to call plays with a fear of their own defense.
Yeah, and the offense didn't, obviously, this is a team that we talk about, the DNA of it is built on this power running game, and it just wasn't there.
Well, the other thing, the other personality this team has shown is, and it came to play into play again tonight, was they get behind early, right? They're down 14 early in the game again. Garrett goes for a long field goal. Brett Maher misses it. Now the Vikings are starting their first possession at midfield, and they score a touchdown on that. They score another touchdown. You're down 14 to nothing. The Cowboys are horrible in terms of overcoming 14 to nothing deficits, although they made this one up. Actually had a lead in the game after being down 14 to nothing. But their inability to start games off well has plagued them multiple times.
After the first 3 games, it's ever since then, it's they're one of the worst teams in the league in what they do. Now, they you're right, they kind of fought back quickly tonight and at least had it to within 17-14 at half. They're right there. But to have that game kind of right there in their grasp and looking like all the world, like Dak's going to lead that thing down. Again, if they scored too quickly, yeah, Minnesota was going to have some time. But
score.
But we thought they were going to at least go down there and
the
have
a bigger problem
good shot.
Comes if you don't score. Because if you don't score, you're not going to win.
What was the 4th-and-5 play? I mean.
It was a throw to.
I know. I'm questioning it. I'm not saying like what I get what it looked like, but I mean, what did you make of that? Because it was just kind of a.
I don't know. I didn't get the whole other than what we said about the defense. I mean, Dak. I think they just had this chance for this monumental accomplishment tonight. If they drive 95 yards in the last 5 minutes and win this game with their quarterback throwing 4 touchdown passes and for 400 yards, I mean, everybody looks at this team completely differently, and they feel differently themselves. So they get off their own goal line. Prescott goes 6 for 7 for 79 yards, and then they run Elliott twice for -3, and then he throws incomplete, and effectively the game's over.
It was...
And you know, I mean, I got to say, as much as I question that, and it's fair to do so, question Kellen Moore's play calling, I think one of those plays was an RPO where Dak basically decides who gets the ball, right? And we all believe Dak has the ability now to check out of plays, to throw if he thinks the numbers are to his benefit. In his 4th season, that should be the situation. And while I think you can criticize Kellen Moore and Jason Garrett, John Kitten, and everybody on the offensive staff for this, they also created the platform for all the success that Dak Prescott is experiencing this year. It's just unfortunate they didn't let him decide the outcome of the game. Because he was the dominant figure in the game.
And, you know, one of the coolest plays, you saw this. I know you've been out here all day, Ed, but you saw the play where, and Lamar Jackson does so many fun things, but you saw that option play. It looked like the old Oklahoma, and RG3 goes in there and is, like, playing the
gets
role
the
of the tailback. There were 3 Heisman winners Ingram, that backfield.
Mark Ingram.
RG3 and, yeah, and Lamar Jackson. And you look at this quarterback, and I'm not saying he's as athletic as Lamar Jackson, but he is an imposing presence out there. And when you don't at least have the threat of the run. Now, again, he did great throwing the football, but they got down there and wilted at the end and lose this game. Let's take a quick listen to Jerry Jones. He weighed in after the game, and here's what
he addressed the second guessing issue of the offensive coordinator and the play calling too.
Yep, and here he is.
Well, I give Mike Zimmer a lot of, and his staff, I give them a lot of credit. Basically could have put a sign on the start of the game. It said Zeke's not going anywhere, and that was the story of the game. And, so he designed a plan to win the game that way. We had trouble getting them off the field at times, and that limited us from getting more of our ups, which we needed to. I thought Dak was outstanding. Cooper was outstanding tonight. And I really thought our protection was really impressive there tonight. So all of that gave us a chance to see some guys do some good things. But they're a good football team, and you can lose those kind of games just like we lost them.
Does the way that you guys struggled running the ball make you second-guess running twice there on that final possession in the red zone?
No, I'm not going to get into that. Since it didn't work, I'd like to have we'd all like to have that back. But, you got to keep trying. And, again, like you say, you headed down there, and to their credit, they headed down to where you either make your makes or they got the ball game. But they were in position all night long to win that game. We were having to come back and get up there to where we had a shot all day long. And so at the end of the day, the game, I haven't looked at the total on the stats, but I know this from the standpoint of the plan, they seem like they were able to move their ball more assuredly than I would have expected.
How much of this is a standing concern? I mean, it's like Dalvin Cook was breaking tackles all night. How much is that concerning? Because it's not the first time that teams have been running the ball well against you.
Well, I just think I do, and I think we can give him a lot of the credit for a lot of those missed tackles. Those are some good linebackers bouncing off making some of those plays. But still, all in all, they had a good game plan there. They did their screens, did that routes out of the backfield, got him the ball real good. And again, I thought they came in with a good plan that won the day for us. We have a really top team. And this one is we're going to have to get over it. We're sitting here tied with Philadelphia in the division now, and we're going to have to play these kind of games to get where we want to be this year. In no way do I see our team one that we just played a well-coached team. We played a good team, played a good personnel team, and their quarterback had a good night. Didn't have as good a night, I didn't think, as ours, but he won. But that's not in any way to diminish how well Dak played.
Regarding where you are in the conference and division, how much of this is a standings setback?
Well, I think it. We know Philadelphia is coming, and we know the caliber of the players that we're playing. And so, from the standpoint of numbers, from the standpoint of where you stand, this was a big game for us, and it's going to make it that much harder to get where we want to go. But make no mistake about it, Zim and Vikings had everything to say about this tonight.
They ran the ball 10 to 7 times in the quarter.
Well, again, that is. And you knew when we were down there for our last two offensive plays, we didn't want to give them the ball back. That probably influenced the way they'd moved the ball all night, especially running it, although they were running out of time. But still, I'm sure it might have influenced what we were doing down there to get the time off the clock.
This team
I don't want to know. I haven't talked. I mean, I do want to know, but I haven't talked to the coaches.
this team, is the Vikings, is in the playoff picture as it stands right now. Does it concern you that your team hasn't beaten a team that's in that playoff picture yet this season?
No, I'm concerned just because we played a good team tonight. It had been a big win for us. Even though we're at home, it would have been a big win for us to get this win, and especially to come back and do it with a lot of the good performances we had tonight. But we were short, and that means we've got a bigger challenge now for these next seven ball games.
Do you feel the Vikings were the more physical team, and if so, how rare is that for you guys to build up front so strong to face a team and get out physical?
Well, I was impressed with how they were able to run the ball. And we know you got to be physical to get that done, and I thought they did a real good job of getting out in space, getting their runners out in space, and did a real good job there. So I was very impressed, and as we all know, running the ball, being physical, that takes a lot out of the opposing team, but for our team to stay and fight and come back and compete the way they did in the face of a team that was doing a pretty good job on us physically impressed me with our team. But, of course, all of that stuff is not as important as the win. I'm sad that we didn't get the win. We've challenged ourselves here.
Obviously, winning the division is the best way to get to the playoffs. Think that this is the only way for your team now to get to the playoffs?
I don't know. I just haven't looked at all the scores today, and I haven't looked at any of that. And it's early. It's early, I think, for me to say that's the only way, or not the only way, is to win the division. But you know, you've got to play teams like Minnesota. We've got some teams coming up that will get out there and compete with Minnesota, as you know, between Chicago and Detroit. They play the same. Different makeup, but the same kind of challenges, and we've got to go on the road to do some of those. And so this was one that we'd like to have won for all of those reasons. Okay, Gus.
Jerry, with slow starts, how much do you put that blame on for why you guys are in the situation you are right now?
Tonight we slow started because they were able to physically take the ball. They had a short field the first time, which I don't disagree with trying to field goal, but then they just drove it right down on their second possession and drove it right down. That'll slow start you. That's a lot more concerning than a slow start. And when they can do that and use that kind of physicalness to get it done, then that put a lot of demand on what Dak and our receivers and, frankly, our protection was able to do. But there's no question that that entire thing was designed to stop Zeke.
Did Amari's work on the sideline?
Yeah.
How do you describe that?
Well, I think it's to use it, and I will use that word in a loss, brilliant. I think his skills there to judge, see, adjust to get those sidelines, yet get open, get the space that it takes to get it open. But I frankly was just as impressed with Dak's throwing tonight. And I thought Dak threw some outstanding passes to allow Cooper and the others to really make some of those kinds of plays. And Dak was on his passing game tonight about as well as I can ever remember.
Are you surprised that in some of these games where they didn't have Drew Brees for the Saints, tonight they didn't have Thielen, that you guys weren't able to, you guys are relatively healthy, not being able to beat those teams without their some key players like that?
Well, when I look at the makeup of teams that we play, we probably, if they had been available when we were drafting, we'd have probably drafted them. Or if we hadn't drafted the guy we drafted, we'd have probably drafted those. Every team we line up out there, we probably wanted about 30 of them to be Cowboys. They all got players. And so we've just got to take ours and a combination of the way you get them, put them together that way. And I like our players. I like our personnel. I like that was a good win for them out here tonight. We had our a way for them, home for us, and disappointing. We're going to, we'll have to pay for this one, and hopefully it won't be terminal.
As well as Dak was playing, as you alluded to, is that even more reason to second guess those runs there on second and third down?
No. I mean, the only reason to second-guess them is because they didn't score and we didn't. I'm not trying to be trite, but that's the only reason to second-guess them. And I kept thinking that some of those runs that were stopped, you'd see some of them break, and I knew with what they had up front that we, if one or two of those broke, they'd break for some serious yardage. But I don't know what Zeke's longest yard was tonight game, but
six
yards tonight, and that's amazing. With as many people as they had up there, if he could have gotten, showed he didn't get any real space to run. But Dak came in, Amari and Gallup and of course Cobb, and, those guys, really the whole receiving group made up for it, and I thought really did a good account of themselves. But has a cloud over when you don't get that win.
When the ball's
but
in the air.
This story for me was about how well the Vikings played, how they were able to do what we did best, confront it and basically move the ball on our defense the way they did. That was impressive and shows me that they've got a good team. They've got a good team, and their quarterback did enough to basically keep us from having too many stops. I don't know how many stops we get in the first half. Two?
Yeah.
Two in the first half. And then what did we get? Three in the second half? Might have been a total of three. So my whole point is that you've dealt yourself up a tall order when you can't stop them better than that.
When the ball's in the air at the very end there, Dak puts it up. What are you thinking? What's going through your mind?
Well, well, you know the odds on those. And so, but I was, you know, I was glad. I was just like we all were, sick when we were down there second and goal. And sitting there thinking about don't run too much clock off. We all thinking the same thing.
Right.
And here he, we need a lot more than clock, or not to have clock.
Sure.
Score. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, there was Jerry with his post-game remarks. And Ed, in our final remarks, let's discuss real quick what the Cowboys have coming up. They got Detroit on the road. They have to go to New England. I mean, this thing does not get any easier. They at least obviously have to have a split there. Philly's got New England coming up, and so Philly and the Cowboys tied now. But, this team just does not feel like it's headed anywhere. Now, interestingly, what you said, if they had a score on that last drive and win the game, we'd have a completely different – but that's the way the NFL works. And right now, you know, I don't know if Jason Garrett makes it to Thanksgiving.
Maybe that's why he's still on the field now.
That's right. He's out there now. Now, I do think he'll make it to Thanksgiving, but I think the people that are dying for him to get fired were, you know, this was the result they needed tonight.
The problem for the Cowboys from this point forward is they probably have to win the division to get in the playoffs, because every other division leader has at least two more victories than them, and some have three or more. So the safest way to get into the postseason for them is to beat out Philadelphia. But if you look at the comparative schedules of the two teams, the Cowboys have the far more daunting schedule than do the Eagles. So them achieving their goal, stated clearly before the season, of taking the next step, seems to be in quite a bit of jeopardy.
And there's no more, like, trade deadline. With this team, you know, there seems to be always, well, what could they do? Who could they sign? Well, that's already passed. So there's really no reinforcements. There's nobody. Who are they missing tonight?
They're not missing anybody.
That's what I'm saying. There's nobody, you know, you can play. That one game.
Who do they have on IR of any consequence? Nobody. They've had their whole team on here.
Tyrone Crawford. That's it.
Okay, well, they replaced him with Michael Bennett.
And how's that working out?
For the most part, other than the game against the Jets, they've had all of their most important players all year long. You see all these other teams that have lost their quarterback. They keep winning. They lose their running back. They keep winning. Not the Cowboys. They have perfect attendance, and they still can't pull it off.
Yeah.
Even at home against a guy who never wins on the road.
They are a contender only because they play in a weak division. And the Eagles are just not that much better. I mean, in fact, you can, you know, based on that first matchup, you could say the Cowboys have a, you know, a bit of an edge. But they're both look like very mediocre teams. And if the Cowboys don't make the playoffs, there is no scenario where this coach comes back.
I know so say you.
Well, you think there would be a scenario?
I would. Why would you ever trust Jerry to follow through on something he said?
Well, that's a good point. Maybe I shouldn't. But I think that's where it would head. And it's been a lot of fun this evening. Thank you for. I mean, what time is it as we wrap this up?
It's approaching 1 a.m.
Is it approaching 1 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you, did you get out here at an ungodly
Nobody
hour?
Nobody cares how many hours I'm putting in.
I like to know. I like our people to know. Ed, you've done great work tonight. You've held up well.
I've done great work. I've done a lot of work.
Yeah, it's the volume has been. You're kind of a volume shooter.
I'm a volume tweeter and I'm a volume podcaster.
I want to thank the Nations for this beautiful suite where we're taping the show. I want to thank AT&T.
Really?
For having what?
You're thanking AT&T? I've had a hard time connecting to their wireless all night. In fact, I got a... I'm an AT&T
all right,
customer.
Let's cut some of this.
I'm sitting in AT&T Stadium, and it says, move closer. Like, how can I move closer?
All right. Well, I just want to thank AT&T for having me in their suite tonight.
So oh, well, that was generous of them.
Whatever Ed just said, my connection was great. I really enjoyed it. So thanks to Z and everybody who had us out. And, boy, been a good one. Been a good one. Thanks to DJ Ringenberg. Thanks to Mark Frito Friedman, Frito Nation. Thanks to Ross Hudson. And thanks to Hudson Financial Group. Ed, have you thanked Hudson Financial Group?
I thanked Ross.
Okay, well, I guess that's enough. He's part of the
Ross
family.
Ross is sitting here with his Twitter running and just passing along all these just horrible, horrible statistical facts about
the
Cowboys.
Very cynical young man.
I like him. I like him.
I know.
He's a good first impression.
He reminds me of you with all these negative stats. All right. I wish if there's anything else on my plate.
I think your plate is empty.
Literally, the plate that I've been riding on. All right. Good night, everybody. From AT&T Stadium. Cowboys lose 28-24. Season's over.
Well, the Christmas lights are shining. Stockings have been hung. We're praying for your daughter, Lottie.